going to be actually talking about one of the most famous supernatural events that ever happened. I'm going to be talking about when the angel appeared to Mary. And for some of us, we think, well, that's just a lovely story at Christmas. But actually, it's a really powerful story. And it's got a lot of relevance for us now. This isn't just an historical event that we're going to talk about. It's a picture, actually, of how God works within us to get his best to us. Because God's aim in this, God's aim in sending Jesus, wasn't for his good, it was for your good, it was for your benefit, and he did it because he loves you. I'm going to give you like the principle right from, we just finished a series on parables, like little story, big idea, little story. And so I'm going to do what I did there, which is give you the principle right up front that I'm going to talk about. That God's provision for you is in the place he told you to be. And a lot of people, a lot of believers, a lot of Christians aren't in the place he told them to be. And then don't see the things that God has for them. And so here's how it kind of works. You can trace this right through Scripture. But in Scripture, there's a place that you're meant to be planted. There's a place that you are meant to be where you relate to God. And it's in that place that God provides. He doesn't provide somewhere else. He doesn't provide in a different place of your heart. He provides when your heart's in the right place. For Mary, who we're going to look at that time when the angel turned up and announced Jesus' birth to Mary, yeah, that she was going to have Jesus. Her place, we'll call it there. Her there was being in the place where God told her to be and the future that God had planned for her. And to be in that place, we can all do the same as Mary, which is we surrender to God's plan for our life and God's will for our life. So that's where I'm going. Okay. Now, faith life. I want you to realize this, and picking up some stuff from those songs again that we were singing, I want you to know that God's still speaking today. God's still doing things today. Amen. God's still doing miracles today. Amen. We had our life group on Tuesday, and our life group's kind of unique. We meet in the back room of a pub, so it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. We get, you know, like, I don't know what the people in the pub make of us because we're openly chatting and things. Anyway, I asked this question on Tuesday. How many of you in this, there's 8 or 10 of us in our life. And I asked this question. How many of you have seen a miracle? Or how many of you prayed for somebody and seen something miraculous? Now, here's what's really exciting. Everybody in our life group, sorry, I'm moving too much, aren't I? Yeah. Everybody in our life group has seen at least one miracle. Some of them have seen multiple miracles. But the bottom line is we all want to see more miracles. Because God is still a supernatural God. And sometimes because we can do so much in the natural these days, we forget that God can do something beyond that. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so he could do something through us that went way beyond what can happen in the natural. And we're going to look at this supernatural event this morning where Mary says yes to God's plan for her. And Mary gives us a picture of what it looks like to place ourselves in the place where supernatural things happen in our lives. Okay? I know that all sounds weird, but I did get you agreeing right up front that if there's a God, then you can expect something that goes beyond natural, didn't I? Okay, so even if you're not following Jesus at the moment, you should have just a little think about that, because when everybody in our group says they've seen a miracle, and some of them have experienced miracles themselves, then perhaps that's good evidence that people need to think about. Anyway, here's the first thing. all these verses you will know, because even if you've never been to church, you will have seen them on TV or some sort of carol service or some poster somewhere. Anyway, this is how the story starts. The angel Gabriel was sent to a virgin named Mary. Now, this is, it's kind of interesting. And the reason this is interesting, I think, is that up until this point, Mary is an absolute nobody. She's not royalty. She's not of any status in her community. She's not got a title. She's not got any wealth. She's very young. She's very poor. She's not part of the religious community. She's not a prophetess or anything like that. She wasn't doing anything that the world would regard as important. But she had a quality that made God choose her. And you can all have the same quality. And that quality is she was available to God for his plan. Her heart was in the right place before God. Now, here's the thing. God, when he wants to do something, does not call those who are qualified. This isn't about natural qualifications. The way God works is that he qualifies the called. He gives you what you need to do what he plans for you. The Apostle Peter, he was writing to some churches that he planted, and he said, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through his great and precious promises. So God gives you what you need to step into his best plan for you. He's not looking at you and going, what's your qualifications? What O-levels did you get, Dawn? What A-levels did you get? Who went to university? Who's got the right engineering degree? I mean, like the right here, degree in obstetrics or something like that could have come in helpful at various points. And he's not looking for that. He's looking for those who are surrendered, not those who are qualified, because the qualification is surrender. So he doesn't look for the qualified, he qualifies those who are called. And that's really important, because that means nobody in this room is counted out of God's plan. However you see yourself, what anybody has said about you, whenever anybody has maybe trashed you as a teenager or anything like that, that does not stop God doing something amazing through you and changing lives through you and touching lives through you. Are we getting this? Because this is really important, because we need to, at the times we are now living in, we need to crack ourselves out of our lethargy and realize that God has called us for something really important. Really important in this time. Yeah. The next 2-3 years that you're going to see are absolutely crucial in the kingdom of God. And he needs us all to play our part. And the first part of playing our part is to be surrendered and realize that he will give us what we need to do what he's asked us to do. Okay, here's the thing. I'll sum it up, and this might sound a bit cheesy, but actually it's memorable. I tested it on Facebook. People liked it. It's memorable. Mary wasn't called because she was spectacular. Mary was called because she was surrendered. Okay? Really important. And that's the same for all of us. When our hearts are turned towards him like Mary's was, God knows how to get his word to you. He knows how to get his provision to you. You don't have to strive to get there. He knows how to get it to you. You don't have to chase prophetic voices and things all over the internet or anything like that to find out what God has for you. What you have to do is remain in fellowship with Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we try and leap too far. Sometimes we go after all the things that we see out there exciting, but that core foundation of being invested in the Word of God and relationships yourself with Jesus through the Holy Spirit it's not there. And yet people want to move in the amazing and the spectacular and all that sort of stuff without that core, and it can go horribly wrong. So we've got to get that core in. So here's the second thing, and I kind of, in my little mini preach at start, kind of talked about this or touched on this. When Gabriel appears to Mary, one thing he's not doing is making a suggestion. He's giving her God's word. And this is what he says: you will conceive, you will bring forth a son, and he will reign forever. You will conceive, you will bring forth a son, and he will reign forever. Now, just think about that. God isn't waiting for Mary to get her head around this and understand it all. And he's not waiting for her to plan how this is going to happen and what she's going to do with it. And he hasn't actually given her any time to prepare for it. It's just completely out of the blue, this. He simply speaks. And because whenever God speaks, his word contains the power needed to bring about what he said. When God says something and we believe it, what God said will come to pass. Yeah? I'm going to say something really controversial, and it might just go over the top of you. If you believe it, you'll receive it. If you don't, you won't. And a lot of people have a problem with that principle. But the nature of following Jesus, the nature of Christianity, works on faith. So we actually have to put our faith and our trust in what God is saying. Not just what he's saying that we should do and what we should believe, but what God says about us, that we are deeply loved, that his love for us existed before any of us ever cared about him. You see, when Jesus came, there wasn't a Christian. He came while the entire world were sinners. We've all been sinners. So he came and he loved us before we ever even wanted him or thought we needed him. And perhaps some of us actually didn't like him. But he came because he loves us. And God's word, when he speaks, it's like a seed. And it contains in itself all that is necessary to bring about what he said. The only thing it needs to germinate and flourish is for you to agree with it. I don't mean just store it away in information, but for you to agree with it. You see, Mary wasn't asked to understand the promise. She wasn't actually asked to work out how this was going to all happen and how she was going to manage the next 18 years of her life or whatever. She was asked to receive it. Not to understand it, but she was asked to receive it. And faith life, sometimes, many of us delay or stop seeing the promises of God materialize in our life because we're trying to figure out how God can do it before we'll believe it. And that's the wrong way around. You see, sadly, or positively, the kingdom of God doesn't work like the natural kingdoms. You see, we have this thing that's trained in us from birth, which is that seeing is believing. You know, my mum used to say a lot, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. No, you'll see it when you believe it. That's how the kingdom works. You see it when you believe it. You see it when you believe it. Everybody try saying that. I'll see it when I believe it. I'll see it when I believe it. I'll see it when I believe it. And the power of God's word isn't in our understanding, and it's not in our, we've seen it, so it must have been right. The power of God's word is when we come into agreement with it and say, I'm going to base my life on it. And that's when the power of God clicks in. That's when his provision for what he's got for you comes. That's when the life of God comes in your life. Grace and the ability of God does not operate or flow through us by logic. It flows through trust. Trust is another word for faith. Trust in Him. You're not believing something abstract, you're trusting somebody real called Jesus. So, let's just imagine for a moment that you're Mary. I know that's a bit harder for the boys than the girls, but let's just try it. Let's just try it. Let's just try and get in touch with that. And she's just there, and this angel's appeared to her out of the blue, and he's announced to her that she is going to have the Son of God as her child. How are you feeling? Like, you got any questions on this one? Let's face it, that is absolutely mind-blowing, isn't it? She's grown up because she's a teenager at this point, she's grown up into her teen years, and all she will have heard about is the Messiah who was promised. And now she has been told by an angel that she wasn't planning on turning up that day. This angel turns up and says, you're going to have the Messiah. How would you feel about that? Would you doubt that? Would you get excited about that? What will that be like? Or maybe you just go like, why me? Like, I was just doing the cleaning. Why me? Here's what most people would do. They would look at themselves and think, I can't do that. I'm not up to that. Even more than that, even a bigger group of people would decide that they're not worthy to do that. They've done stuff that they're not proud of, so this couldn't quite be right, because God would never choose them. And then you've got a few, I mean, these are kind of the boo-hiss people, so hopefully you're not one of these, but then you've got a few prideful people who immediately go out, declare that theirs is the world's greatest ministry and the Son of God is going to come through them. And they boast about it to everybody in sight. So you get all these potential reactions, but most of us will go, either we're not up to it or we're not worthy of it. And the truth is, you don't have to be amazing for God to work through you and for God to bless you, because He's the amazing one. You're not. He's not limited by your limitations, because He can change your limitations. Oh, I like that one. Make a note of that, Jules. I'll stick that on Facebook. The truth is, you aren't worthy. The truth is, you aren't up to it. None of us are. God's given us, in the natural, an impossible task. He's asked us to go out and see people come into the kingdom. He's asked us to reach out to people that we don't necessarily like. He's asked us to love our enemies. He's asked us to lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. He's asked us to deliver people of demonic impression. He's asked us to do all sorts of things that are totally impossible. And that's why we can't ever get ourselves in a place where church is limited and our own lives are limited to what we can achieve in the natural. Because with a lot of money these days, you can achieve a lot in the natural. And it looks really attractive. But it doesn't get people healed. It doesn't get people set free. It doesn't get people breaking out of addictions overnight. It doesn't change people's lives. It doesn't heal the brokenhearted. It does none of that. It offers complicated counselling programs with no power of God in them. And so we have to be people who realize that we are not up to it. We're not up to it at all, but He is, and His Spirit is in us. Mary wasn't up to it at all, but God's Spirit came. Anyway, back to Mary. The big question I would ask myself, and maybe you were thinking like in your pretending to be Mary bit, is how can a poor person like me, who's got nothing, how am I ever going to look after the Messiah? I'm going to pay for his upbringing? How am I going to provide what he is worth? How can I do all that? And if I'm Mary, I'm thinking, surely God could have found a princess or somebody with loads of money to do this. Somebody with a nice big house. Because I can't provide anything fit for a king. I can't even begin to afford a child. I'm not even married. And that's like some of us, isn't it? We know that what God asks us to do with our lives, but we don't do it. And the reason we don't do it is because we can't see how it can be done and how it can be funded. And remember, they're both natural responses. And it's a common problem. We limit ourselves and we limit the ability of God in our life to what we have right now. So the future, those things that we read about in God's word, they always look impossible to us because we haven't got the resource that we really need right now. And so as a result, en masse, we all get stuck where we are right now. And some of us, maybe some of us who are kind of a bit more, a bit more pushing themselves forward, we have our own plans for our lives, so we just get on with our own plans for our lives. With no reference to God and whether that's his plan for our life and whether we're conducting it in the way he wants us to, we just would like him really to bless it, because that would be kind of cool, God. And a lot of us live in this kind of stasis where we just go through day to day with our day to day struggles and limited by what we have right now. You see, most people, and I'm saying this because I don't want this to be us or you or me, most people never take the time to seek God's will or counsel about their decisions. It's true. Like, 18 plus years of pastoring have proved that to breaking point to us. Most people never take any time to ask God's counsel for what their decisions are. They just think that's a good decision because they read some book about how to take decisions, or it looked attractive to them, or it looked like a great step to advance them. But they never consulted God. And then they end up few years down the line and go, not really where I wanted to be. You see, God's provision and God's life for us is in his place. And for you, it's about finding that place of blessing. And we find that inside, not outside most of the time. So, you know, every one of us, every one of us who sat here has a purpose in life. According to Psalm 139, verse 16, God has planned your life when you were in the womb. Which is kind of cool, isn't it? A bit phenomenal, but kind of cool, and a bit weird, but we'll get there. God planned your life when you were in the womb. Now, here's what's really important. You've got to understand this. God's plan for your life does not sovereignly come to pass. You have complete choice whether or not you follow God's best plan for your life. And those choices that we make often end us up way outside God's best for us. I mean, like, how many of us here, you don't have to put your hands up, I'm not taking it up, but just have a think. Do you think where you are right now is God's best, God's absolute best, or is there more to come? But because God's got this really good plan for us, but we don't consult him, we don't talk to him, we don't receive his counsel, and even when we receive his counsel, we don't do it and we don't follow it because we can't see how it'll ever work, we're kind of limiting the whole thing. And the world leads a group of people who aren't limiting the whole thing anymore like that. He needs a group of people who'll step into God's plan, who do have his counsel, who do see his best for us. Now, if you do step into it, it's God's best possible plan you could ever have for your life. And the thing is, it might not feel like the best plan right in your head right now. And that's because you're in the flesh and not in the spirit. But God says, I've got the best plan for you, and you'll love it. You will be fulfilled like this. You will see some things you would never have seen otherwise. And the sad truth is, most people don't know what God's plan is for them. And even if they do, they don't follow it. Most people just muddle along day to day with no plan, and only a few wise ones actually seek out what God has for them and how and work towards finding his best. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this, in a really famous passage if you've kind of been around church for any times. It finishes like this: I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Now, clearly God's plan was the bless, but we could choose the other. Now, yes, that's the old covenant, but this is a principle that's still applicable under the new because we have free will. So, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants, your family, may truly, really, really live. He gives you the choice of choosing the place of blessing for your life. Now, you may be, how could it be? Maybe you've had a teacher, or maybe you've had a parent, or maybe, sadly, you've had a spouse, or a sibling, or a friend who just used to trash you. He used to put you down. He used to say, you'll never make anything of yourself. My mum, and I remember, you know, like you've got those moments you remember in your life. I remember, like, as I was at primary school. I'm not sure what age, but let's say 7 or 8. And I used to have the best friend. He was actually my best man at our wedding, a guy called Graham. Went to school with him, lived just around the corner. And we were doing something like summer holidays, and my mum came out with this immortal statement. That's beautiful handwriting, Graham. Mark will never make anything out of himself. Look how bad his handwriting is. And I'm sure she did it to encourage me to sort my handwriting out. It's a curse that my son inherited, by the way. But it's one of those that went deep. And we've got moments like that, haven't we? Yeah? And so when those moments are in us, we think we're not capable of ever being more than we are now. God never made anybody to be average or below average. He makes people to be unique. And you are uniquely you. You don't need to be anybody else. You need to be uniquely you, and you need to walk with God as the unique you that you are. And no matter how much you messed up, how far you've gone off track, however astray you've gone, however many times you've missed it, even if you sat there this morning and think, man, I've done 60 years at this and I haven't really followed the Holy Spirit at all. I just kind of muddled through. It's cool. I've got some good news for you. How many of you in your cars have this amazing thing called GPS? Yeah? Now, nearly everybody's got it now, haven't they? And even if you haven't, you've got one stuck on your windscreen or on your phone or something like that. Here's the thing. What happens when you go the wrong way? Recalculates route. Yeah? That's how God works in your life. He is so much God. He is so big as a God. He is so amazing as a God. He can recalculate your route from wherever you are. Even if you're going the wrong way down a one-way street, he can recalculate your route and put you back on track. He might take you down a single-track road in Devon, which is a bit hairy, but he'll get you back on track. Chell's not going to Devon with me on holiday anymore. She couldn't cope with the like narrow roads. We had to reverse for 2.5 miles because the tractor was coming the other way. She's in front of me. I'm never coming again. I'm never coming again. What are you doing? There must be a different way. I'm going, it's Devon. There is no other way. This is it. This is the one road. Anyway, so. Sorry, I've lost track. So Mary asks this question. The question that Mary asks is this. How's this going to be since I don't know a man? In other words, I'm not married. I've never slept with anybody. Interestingly, when you read the Gospels, there's somebody else who an angel announces something to. And they don't believe it. And so they kind of, it ends up differently for them. But for Mary, she's not asking because she doubts God. She's just wondering, like, how's this going to happen, God? I believe you're going to do it, but how's it going to happen? God doesn't mind us asking questions. Asking questions about how he's going to do something is your guide to where you step in next. But Zacharias, just a few verses earlier, he kind of questioned in unbelief what was announced to him. But Mary didn't doubt the promise. She just wondered how it's going to be. And because of that, the angel explains to her. Now, God's not threatened by your honest questions. In fact, he's inviting them. And one of the things we have in following God's plan is sometimes it's difficult because we don't ask questions. We go, okay, God, you told me this was going to happen. I've no idea how it's going to happen. I'll just kind of breeze along until it happens then. No, you want to know what step to take next. For most of us, for many of us, the very first step we should do, starting now and right into the new year, is getting the word. Getting the word of God. Getting the word of God every day. Getting the word of God regularly. And getting the word of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So he's your teacher. And he'll show you things. And he'll bring things to your attention. And he'll show you the way you should go. And he'll show you the route you should follow. Are you with this? Faith isn't an absence of questions about the steps. Faith is a questioning of God's character. They're two different. Unbelief isn't a question of asking questions. Unbelief is questioning God's character. Will he do it for me? Will he do it? Will he keep his word? That's unbelief. Asking questions about what you should do next, that's cool. But don't do that if you've got no word in you, because you will not be able to hear the answer. The word of God tunes your hearing to the voice of God. Anyway, going off on one there. So Mary believed the what. She just asked about the how. And God responded. Now, this is really important. When we hear what I just said this morning, God has a plan. A bestest plan for your life. And when we know when he wants us to do some things and follow him, that there's more than we currently have in our life, more than we're currently seeing, more than we're currently experiencing. There's a bigger purpose and a better plan out there somewhere. When we're thinking that, we want to know how it's going to happen, just like Mary did. Now, here's a really important point. Mary asked one question. Like, what's next? Okay? We want to know steps 1 through 10 and how we're going to get there. We want God to lay it all out so we can see how it works, so we can get from where we are now thinking this is impossible to where it is out there thinking, oh yeah, I can see that step. Oh yeah, it is possible, but only if I take those steps. We want God to do that for us. God doesn't do that. God doesn't tell you steps 1 to 10. He tells you step 1. And when you've done step 1, he'll tell you step 2. You see, what would have happened if God had told Mary what was going to happen? Just think about it. What's the result? What's the end result? What if you told them, Mary, you're going to have a Messiah, and he's going to be brutally murdered on a cross? What if he told them, Mary, your son's going to be absolutely despised by people? What if he said, Mary, your son's going to divide the world? What if he said, I need to tell you this, Mary, you're going to go down in history, along with your kids, as trying to talk Jesus out of his destiny and tell him to come home? What if he said all those things? What if he said he's going to be crucified without cause? What if he said, oh, by the way, when you have him, you're going to ride on a donkey for days just before you give birth, and you're going to give birth in the bed of a cow? What if he said all those things? That's really not very attractive, is it? You see, God doesn't tell us the whole plan, and the reason he doesn't tell us the whole plan, well, there's more than one reason why he doesn't tell us the whole plan. The first reason why he doesn't tell us the whole plan is you try and go and do it without him. And he never wants that, because that involves no faith. Or maybe you'd reject the plan as too big, too mind-blowing and too difficult and go, that's not for me. I want the easy life. Or maybe you just give up before you even started because you can't see how it would ever be. You question all those steps. Or, I think most likely, we'd all back off because most times the journey is painful. And we wouldn't want the pain. Here's God's answer to all those questions. And I'm going to finish with this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. You see, the Holy Spirit, for us, those who believe this side of the cross, having Jesus having done all we need, the key to everything that God calls us to do is walking with the Holy Spirit. Mary couldn't produce the miracle. Mary couldn't even perform the plan on her own. She didn't have the ability. But God didn't expect her to. He said that the Holy Spirit would do the work. And here's the thing. The Christian life that God has called you to, if you think it's possible, you haven't got with the story yet. The Christian life that God has called you to is impossible without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, anything's possible. God's grace does for you what you could never do for yourself. Every calling of God is going to be bigger than you. Every promise of God is beyond you. Every assignment that God gives you is impossible without the Spirit of God. And most Christians are missing the plan of God for their life because they're only operating in the natural, and so they see everything is impossible. And they miss the plan of God for life. So here's Mary's moment. She steps in, she surrenders. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. This is where it all happens. That's when you step into your place called there, where God provides. Be it unto me, God, I surrender. It's the place of agreement. I'm going to agree with what you say, God. I'm going to agree with what you say. I'm going to agree with what you say about me. It's the place of supernatural grace. And faith is just agreeing with God. Mary didn't wait to feel pregnant before she agreed. She didn't wait for a sign. She didn't wait for confirmation. She believed, so she spoke, be it unto me according to your word. And that's the moment the miracle happens. not when she felt something, not when she saw something, but when she believed something and agreed to something. Now, I remember all those things she was worried about. Why me? How can I even afford this? Why couldn't you pick somebody who had wealth or standing or position? I can't provide what this baby needs. This is what happens when you surrender to God and you start living the life he has for you. Again, famous passage. After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. He went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. They then opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two things I want to finish with on that so the worship team can come up. Two things. First one's this. How did they know? Why were they looking for a star? They were looking for a star because they came from the land where Daniel was, and he told them about a promised Messiah who would be born, and the sign would be a star. And they were watching for it, and when they saw it, they said, right, we're going. Right, we're going to do what Daniel told us about. We're going to surrender and step into his word. So they surrender, they get on their camels with their big treasure chests, and they come from a distant land, and Mary surrenders, not knowing how it's possible, but through the Holy Spirit has Jesus, and two surrendered people come together, and what's the result? God's provision is there. What they bring, I don't know, you probably know this, but when you estimate the quantity and the value of what they brought, it's £several million. £several million they brought. God can provide and God can do what he says he will do, even if it seems impossible for you. To Mary, the concept of having £several million to bring up the Son of God, it wasn't even there. She never saw that plan. She never knew that was the end result of the plan. But God was working out a plan in a distant land and a plan in Mary's life, and the two came together and God provided. God provides when we surrender. God provides when we go all out for him. God gives us what we need every time we need it when we're surrendered to him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand, let's worship. Let's get ready for Christmas.